Yeah, to somewhere where you can write.
Yeah, so like I edit it and then I copy it back and replace it. Ubuntu is so
you can just make a new component and just like base off the old one.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Because it's
an old line and just copy and change the whole thing.
That's probably all we'll get to today, if we're lucky.
That has some weird effects on it.
It's 2010. I need our notes.
Oh.
Yeah,
because
you say
so what was that? Was that like a scan of a...
That was just 2010 notes. I was trying to figure out what are the things that I haven't done yet that I should do for you guys.
Oh.
So I just, oh, well, let's see. We'll go back and look what I did some other year. Okay, so let's see. This is 2014. No, I don't want to copy that. I just want to click it. Okay, so we still have one more thing to do. We haven't figured out how to get this guy right here and that guy right there. So. I just. You have a question?
What would be the amid in the voting block?
That is, the mid frequency voltage out or voltage in kind of thing.
Where it's half of the.
Where it comes, it comes up and it goes like this, and then it comes back down. It's the mid place, kind of where it peaks out.
Okay. So it should be around what we calculate.
Yeah, right, your mid should kind of be something pretty close to ignoring all the capacitors, what that gives you. I mean, roughly, right? I mean, not necessarily, but close. Okay, so what we're doing today, we need to do CMU. You can take CMU as COBO, okay? I think that means C output, base output to base with something open, maybe the output open or whatever. But COBO is CMU, and you can find this usually in the data sheet. This is. Probably have it.
What? Okay. Well, we have to tell the cow one before we can tell the other one, or the other one won't be as funny.
Yeah.
So, okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow.
Ooh.
Who?
Okay.
I see.
Now, this is the one we're all thinking of. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting coefficient of friction.
Who? Who's there? Yeah.
You're supposed to say interrupting coefficient.
Oh. You're supposed to interrupt the coefficient of friction.
Yeah, you're supposed to interrupt with
Mew. Mew. Oh, Mew.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah.
Hillary told us all in the lab yesterday.
See, Mew. I see. Interrupting coefficient of friction.
Yeah. But it's only really funny if you heard the interrupting cow joke.
Right, yeah. And you've also got to have been using Mew as a coefficient of friction recently or something, right?
Yeah.
Mew. Okay, so we've got C mu. This is the interrupting capacitor, feedback capacitance. Okay, we need to figure out how to get R mu. How do we get R mu? R mu, and I think we've already got RO because that's, you know, the we did that one last time. So I think R mu is, and I suppose RBB prime, I don't even remember how to get RBB prime, but let's work on R mu for a minute here.
R mu.
Okay, so. Let's look at this guy. Often there are H parameters in the data sheets. And this HRE here is actually, it relates the VCE here to what voltage you get, over here on the input. Okay, so if you think about the model that we have right over here, if we put a VCE here, then, and, you know, ignore the capacitors here, so we got R mu and R pi, then there's actually kind of a voltage divider here that makes VCE here, right? So if you ignore the capacitors, you know, just think about the capacitors, we have HRE is equal to, it's basically VBE over VCE, okay, which is equal to approximately this voltage divider. If you look at your thing right here, it would be R pi over R pi plus R mu, right?
You guys are ignoring the...
Yeah, we're kind of ignoring the capacitors. So this is approximately, it's a voltage divider ratio, so that's R pi over R pi plus R mu. Yeah, so let's see what they have in your book. You're looking on page. All this stuff is kind of on page 513, 514, somewhere in there.
Well, they didn't really state the formula.
Well, 841 is what we just came up with, more or less.
Yeah.
This guy right here. In general, R mu is much, much larger than R pi. So they approximate this with R pi over R mu. And let's go look and see whether, I don't know whether I still have the 2N2222 data sheet up here. I probably don't. Let's go 2N222. Yeah, here, that's what I want right there. Here we go. So if we look at, could we find HRE? Let's go see if we can find that. It's HFU or is it HRE? Is it? Oh, H.
HFE is beta.
Oh, man. Depends on what data sheet you have, too. They have one in the back of the book. There's a data sheet in the back of the book that has it, I guess. At least it appears to, because they do this example here on the next page, and they say 1. Let's see. They say data sheet gives HRE is 4 × 10⁻⁴. Let's go see if this data sheet. Where do they have this one?
Appendix
is from Motorola.
Needs appendix B.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here. See if I can find it in there. Oh, yeah, they have more of the data sheet parameters Motorola does, more than Fairchild. So sometimes you need to look at somebody else's data sheet. 2N2222, is it A or 2 and Motorola? Oh, T-O-O, I do. T-O-R-O-L-A, Motorola.
Oops.
Oh,
Jiffy.
NPN. See whether this guy has a different data sheet. Yeah, this is, well, I don't know, this is Motorola. This is Philips. See what Philips says. Well, HFE.
HR.
You see HRE anywhere there?
I found it right here.
Yeah, it's in there, yeah. Yeah, so anyway, as you see, you know, finding the data you want from the data sheet can be kind of a hide-and-seek search, right? And figure out how to compute things from what you've got. But this is what the book is doing. He's using the Motorola data sheet, and they got this, the guy, and they, you know, once you have RPi, then you can get RMU, okay? But it's usually pretty big, okay? If you're doing a common emitter amplifier where that where the Miller effect is important, then this can be important. But you know, it depends on your specific amplifier. And in general, when I'm doing things by hand, I'm very careful not to include anything except stuff that really matters to me, because it makes the calculations much more difficult. Now, when I'm doing it in SPICE, I'll just do whatever, you know, whatever's easy there, and they have some gigantic model. They can solve the gigantic model. It doesn't bother me, right? But when I'm trying to figure things out by hand, and often, you know, I actually use figuring things out by hand as a way to try and figure out what I need to tweak on the circuit to make it do more what I want to do. That isn't the only way. That might be a little bit the old-fashioned way, because nowadays you have you know, simulators, and it might be just as easy these days just to try some things in the simulator. But you kind of, when you're kind of doing that in the dark, you know, there are some difficulties there too, because you're not sure what all the differences are, you know, when you change this transistor to that one. Although sometimes you don't care. All, you know, always care as long as I find one that works, right? But you know, that kind of design is a little dangerous. You know, it's nice to understand what's going on behind the scenes a bit more, and that's why the hand calculations are important. So, okay, so let's see. So let's go over the, maybe we do the kind of the example they have in the book. 2N22. Let's just, I don't know, pick IC equals, I don't know, let's do the same one they do in the book and see if we get the same answers. That'll give us something to check with. So let's say they're assuming 10 milliamps, okay? And VCE is 10 volts, so IC equals 10 milliamps, and VCE is 10 volts. And so the first thing we need to do is find RPi. So we need to know what beta is, right? So if you look in the back, maybe I should put this little note in there. You can tell me, Carlos, what is HFE range? It's a giant range, right?
Yeah.
So what do we want to pick?
It depends on what our IC is.
Okay, our IC is 10 milliamps and VC is 10 volts, but it probably still gives you minimum. Does it give you average?
And that's a minimum of 35, and it has a line for the max.
Right, yeah. So it could be anything, right? 35 to infinity. But I don't know. I'm going to probably, you know, it depends on what you want to do, you know. You got to look at your circuit, and if your circuit really needs the minimum, you know, you need to make it work for the minimum, then you pick 35 or whatever, right? I don't know. I mean, so I don't know what we should pick. Maybe we should look and see what they picked. Because it really, they say it goes 75 to 375 from they're looking at things.
From what?
35? Little h sub little fe, what do you get? That's the small signal beta.
Yeah, they have 10 milliamps, 75.
So 75 to 375 is the max, right?
I don't see that.
I was on page 868.
Oh.
This is little small h sub signal. Little a. Yeah, you want small signal things.
Sorry.
So.
Sorry.
So what is it?
Yeah, 75 to 375.
Okay, so. So the average value they picked was 225, right? The beta, approximately 225. So they used that to the average value. Okay. And I guess that's as good as anything.
So the small signal beta is different from the.
Yeah. Right. Uh huh.
Okay.
Well.
I thought.
They're approximately the same. I mean, the problem is, you know, beta varies all over the place, right? So. If you're making beta go up and down quite a lot, then your IC isn't really right at 10 milliamps, right? I mean, it doesn't make sense to really, I mean, that might be where it's centered, but, you know, if it's moving up and down quite a lot, depends on how big your big signal is. And you mostly, you know, when you look at those curves, they're about evenly spaced, but not perfectly, right? That's why it's changing. So, anyway, then r pi, how do we get r pi? Do you remember? What is it?
R pi is...
Yeah, it's a beta vt over ic, which is the same thing as vt over iv. And that's what it was. That's that derivative of the, you know, the slope. Take the derivative, you can get that. So this would be 0.026 about divided by IB, which are, no, let's put IC, 225, and then I'll put, no, that's not what goes on the IC is 10 times 10 to the minus 3, and this is 225 up here, right? So what's that? Yeah, right. So let's HRE. What is HRE?
585.
585 ohms. Okay. Okay, so what's HRE? So we can find out what R mu is.
Has a maximum of 4 × 10⁻⁴.
Okay, so that implies that, well, I guess I should say this equals, approximately equals R pi over R mu, which is equal to 585. Over R mu, which implies R mu equals 585 over 4 times 10 to the minus 1.46 megohms. Okay, so we got that. Then let's see, what else do we need? We could get C pi now. Well, let's see. What about COBO? Did you find that? C mu equals COBO is equals?
COBO equals 8 picofarads.
Okay, so this is 8 picofarads. Okay, and then we need to go back and find C pi. Let's go back to our notes here. Okay, so we came up with a relationship for C pi last day. Right here, C mu plus C pi. C mu plus C pi equals beta 0 over 2 pi Ft R pi. So we need Ft. Can you find Ft? Somewhere around 200 megahertz or something.
Oh,
Here. Here's FT. They say it's 250 megahertz.
Oh.
But that's at 20 milliamps, but it should be about the same. So what are you getting? You gotta find FT is the thing that's given.
It has a minimum of 300.
300? Okay, so we say 300 megahertz. And then we go back to our what we derived in the notes.
Oh, I think
we need CPI. Yeah, that's probably what you guys were working on. Going backwards, right? Okay, so you gotta know what you get out of the data sheet and what you don't. So it says C mu plus C pi equals beta zero, this is actually approximately beta zero over 2 pi FT R pi. So C pi equals beta zero, which is, what was it, 225 divided by 2 pi. FT is 300 megahertz. So 300 times 10 to the mega 6. R pi was 585, right? So what's that?
Wait, it should be minus C mu.
Oh, minus C mu, minus 8 picofarads.
Yeah, 196.
Did you get the 8 picofarads I forgot at the end? Okay, cool. So that's 196. So let's see, what else do we need in the model? Go back and look at the model and see if we're missing anything. Probably RBB prime or something.
This is a hybrid pi model.
Yeah, hybrid pi model, so it's right here.
Do we need B pi? Oh.
We need, what's GM? Can you get GM?
From the
division? No, GM is equal to, remember, GM V,
beta over R pi.
Yeah, beta zero over R pi. R pi, which was equal to 225 divided by 585 equals. 513, so yeah, it is.
Or 384.2.
513's mohs. What is mohs? See, it's upside down like that or something. What you said is what? What is
0.385 milli.
Is that millimoles or three? It's 385 millimoles, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That's right.
Oops, I got ohms. Yeah. Oh, which one's ohms? This is ohms, right? Man, I don't know. Millimoles. Okay, yeah. Okay, so we got GM. We need to get RX, right? And so they say in the book that you can get that from the time constant. There's from the data sheet, it says the maximum value for the collector base time constant is Rx C pi. So collector base time constant is what they say to get Rx C pi. So what is it?
Make sure I have the right page. Let's see. 150 PS.
Picoseconds. Okay, 150 picoseconds. So that means Rx equals 150 times 10 to the minus 12. Is that right?
Yeah.
divided by C pi 196 times 10 to the minus 12, right?
Which is 0.765.
765 ohms. So you see, I just ignore it. I mean, that's going to be in series with the R pi at 585. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
So anyway. So now we kind of, you know, you've at least gone through it for one thing. And as you notice, the data sheets vary, right? And so it's not always easy to find what you need. And so often what I actually usually do when I really want something is I will go to the manufacturer that makes the transistor. And often these days, they'll supply a SPICE model. And sometimes from the SPICE model, you can get the data. And if not, you've got a SPICE model, and you know, and you can just use it in your simulator.
Here they have Rx times C mu.
Did I write the wrong thing?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I probably wrote the wrong. It is C mu. I'm sorry. So what's the Rx times C mu? So it's going to be bigger. What is it?
Yeah.
C mu. C mu is 8, right?
8
picofarads, so this is going to be bigger. 18 ohms. 19 ohms. Still not a whole lot compared to the, you know, 585. So, yeah. Okay, so that's that. I guess I ought to take pictures of this so I can do the next one. Are there any questions about this?
Should this be in the test you make?
No,
the test is just
Just up to S parameters and stuff that we did with the transmission line stuff. So all this new stuff here, this stuff is not really on the test.
Cool.
Not this test anyway. It'll be on the final, I suppose. Okay, I've been having problems with that. I downloaded Google's new camera and having my difficulties with it yesterday. I took a bunch of pictures in digital control and it kept giving me, camera quit errors. And then when I went to look at the pictures and it said media not found.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not good. But I think some other people took pictures too, so maybe I'm off the hook. I don't know. I sent out an email, but nobody sent me any. So maybe I am on. I don't know. I tried to send out an email. Maybe if you didn't get it, maybe it didn't work. Because it was the funny thing. I was using class.wallawalla.edu.
Yeah.
And normally when you hit the send button, I think that the email just kind of disappears. So you hit the send button, a little thing spins around, and then it stops. So maybe that's not working either. See, I have all kinds of computer problems. So, you didn't get one either, yeah? Okay. Yeah, well, if you got pictures, send me the pictures so I can put them up before class if you get a chance.
Of
yours, right?
Yeah.
That's better than I got. I took pictures, but it didn't turn out. Austin didn't get it either. I'd be surprised if you got it. Because I remember I sent it about 3 times and I wondered, man, they're getting 3 emails now, I'm just going to quit this. And I didn't know whether, because I wasn't on the email list, so I couldn't check whether it was going out. And sometimes I put myself on there and then I know it went. But this time I didn't do that. Okay. So there's a couple of topics we need to talk about now that are somewhat useful, depending on what you're doing. And the first one I want to talk about is tuned amplifiers. These are amplifiers that are made for a specific frequency. And there's some interrelationship between these tuned amplifiers and oscillators. Now, normally, if you guys had been doing your own radio, you would have needed to know how to do oscillators. And so, we would have done those already. Actually, oscillators are probably even more important than tuned amplifiers in a lot of cases, because you've got to put them in your microprocessors. You know, we use oscillators everywhere. And so we'll talk about those, but they're kind of interrelated, and I think I'll just start out with the tuned amplifiers, and then we'll go to the oscillators after that. It kind of goes with feedback, the oscillators does, but when we were doing feedback at the end of 356, we kind of ran out of time at the end of class, and so we didn't really cover those things. And I figured, oh, well, we'll just cover them when you do radios, right, because that's what you need, right? But you didn't end up doing radios, and that, at least the way you would need an oscillator, right? That's a good question. Is this in the book? Look in the index and see. Look up Q. Yeah, I forgot. I should do that. My problem is, you know, once I've done this thing so many times, I don't even look at the book anymore.
Quality factor.
Quality factor. Yeah. Okay. What is it?
It's like a little thing.
Oh, a little barcode, huh?
Yeah. It looks like a magnetic thing. It's good.
Oh, it looks like
it's an RFID. Yeah, you can read
it. So it'll beep if you try to steal the book and it has some bit deactivated.
Oh, uh-huh.
So don't try to steal that.
That's it.
Okay, so what Q is it's really, it's 2 pi times the energy stored, and Q is a thing for a resonator, okay, divided by the energy loss per cycle.
They have tuned circuits here.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be looking at. That's a kind of an oscillator, a storage, this is a resonator kind of thing. And this is, for a resonator. But you can actually, if you take the 2 pi out and you say energy loss per cycle, I think it's like the energy stored divided by the energy loss per radian. We do this right. Oops, energy stored. I like the energy loss per cycle because it's easier to calculate the energy loss per cycle than the energy loss per radian. But of course, this formula is maybe simpler, right? No 2 pi. And this is the definition of Q. It's called the quality factor. This guy right here is the. And this is kind of an electrical engineering concept that's equivalent to a mechanical engineering concept that you probably run into before. Do you remember when you were doing second-order systems, on resonators, a second-order system, right? And if it's a lossy second-order system, you have that middle term S squared plus something S plus something, right? And that in the mechanical terms, that's 2 zeta omega sub n, or omega sub natural frequency S, right, that middle term. And that zeta is the damping coefficient, okay? The damping coefficient is just directly related to the Q. The Q is the electrical engineer's way of doing things in the old days, and the zeta was the mechanical engineer's way of describing the same thing. And so, unfortunately, we have these two things, and it depends on which background you come from. Where, if you're a feedback control person, you probably use zeta. If you're an electronics designer, you like Q. Okay. So, you know, they're basically interchangeable. I think we'll figure out what they are. It's one is like one over the other, or maybe with a two factor of two in there or something. So that's kind of, you know, gives you a little bit of an idea of what this thing is here. And the idea is that if you have a high Q resonator, high Q resonators are really good for making filters, and they're also very good for making oscillators. Having a high Q resonator, it will bounce forever, kind of like, actually, I brought Super Bowl here, and we've got these crummy floors here, unfortunately. So maybe if I did it on the table, you could calculate the Q. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to drop this thing, and you guys need to figure out, you know, this is MGH from here to here, H, right? That's the energy that's stored in this ball right now. Right? And as I drop it, it's going to bounce up, and it's not going to bounce quite as high, right? And so you see the difference between the heights. That will be the energy lost per cycle, right? So we can find the Q of this Super Bowl. Does that make sense? By just dividing those, okay? So let's see what we get here. Oh, it's not very good. I think that actually the table is still on the, you know, the, if I do it here, it's probably not very great there either, right? But, you know, this, I think this is a little higher Q than that, but at least we're measuring the Q of our system as it is, right? You know? And so what do you think? It was halfway up or what, three quarters?
Half.
So this is the Q for our Super Bowl, you know, we'll draw our Super Bowl here. Well, what do you think?
Two-thirds?
Yeah, 7,500, huh? So this goes down right here, right? Bounces up, right?
Yeah.
And you guys said this was, we'll call this H1, and this guy you said was what? H1 over 2, right? Okay. And so this is our Super Bowl here. And so our Super Bowl Q, the Q would be equal to 2 pi times MGH 1, right? Divided by MG. And the energy lost was H1 minus H1 over 2, right? Which is this about 4 pi? So it was about 12, right? So the Q of our Super Bowl was only 12. So you see, a good Q for an LC circuit, or, you know, a nice, you know, LC circuit, usually in the LC circuit, most of the losses occur in the inductor because it's got resistance. And so a good Q for an LC circuit might be 100, okay? If you want a really high Q thing, probably use a crystal, and then you get Qs in the thousands. So anyway, we probably ought to stop here so that Austin can make it to his... Thank you.